Hey, everyone. So today, as promised in my last episode, I'm going to do a deeper dive on GLP-1. Now, I mentioned how many, you know, snake oil salesmen in the wellness slash biohacking space keep pushing this narrative regarding increasing our own GLP-1 in order to elicit the supposed same results that the GLP-1 drugs on the market render. And this is just completely absurd from a weight loss perspective. You just can't compete with those drugs. Now, from a blood sugar stability perspective, however, that's a horse of a different color. Now, the blood sugar results are fairly similar. The GLP-1 drugs do outperform naturally increasing our own endogenous GLP-1, but not by a tremendous margin that you would think considering the cost of the drugs. Now, the problem is no one is explaining how this could be done, meaning increasing our own endogenous GLP-1. Now, I hear many people touting the probiotic Acromantia as a way to lower A1C by what the research is suggesting to be 0.6%, which is admittedly remarkable, but it's still a band-aid nonetheless, right? It's more of a proof of concept that Acromantia plays a critical role in the release of GLP-1 than I think of as a therapeutic approach to increasing GLP-1. But ultimately, we need to make our own Acromantia, and there's no reason for anyone to have to rely on an endogenous source, especially given how expensive this probiotic supplement is. Now, keep in mind, if someone had plenty of Acromantia made endogenously, and as a result, their first phase insulin response was robust, if someone wanted to further optimize things by taking an Acromantia probiotic, great, right? There's no harm in that. But it shouldn't be used in place of the foundation, which is ensuring our own endogenous Acromantia levels are as high as possible. Now, in case anyone is not familiar with what a phase one insulin response is, I'll put a link in the show notes where I discuss that in detail in an earlier episode. So, what are some of the biggest impediments to Acromantia being able to flourish in the gut? So, for starters, they're gut infections. Again, no one is discussing how to address the why, right? Instead, they're trying to sell the band-aids in the form of a natural, so-called natural solution. So the first step, even before you find out if you have gut infections, is check your blood sugar, your fasting blood sugar, and then check your blood sugar with a glucometer 30 minutes after a meal and again an hour after a meal, right? Ideally, irrespective of what you ate, you should not see your blood sugar rise above 180 and ideally not above 140. Now, if your fasting blood sugar is in a healthy range, say around 82, but you see a massive spike post-meal, you could bet the bank your first phase insulin response definitionally is blunted. Right? The question is why? Right? Now, 9 times out of 10, it's all in the gut. GLP-1 is the driver behind that first phase insulin response. So it enables insulin to be released even before food reaches the bloodstream. So think about it. If that process is delayed, even if someone has a healthy fasting blood sugar, when they eat, the blood sugar is going to rise faster than insulin is able to control it from spiking. So we now know one of the primary drivers for the release of GLP-1 is from the gut bacteria Acromantia. So if you don't have Acromantia, or at least enough, you're not going to have enough GLP-1. No GLP-1, you're going to have spikes in blood sugar, even if your fasting blood sugar is perfect. Let's say it's 82. It's still, if you're having those postprandial spikes, it's often the very early stages of diabetes. Now, if you're having these post-meal blood sugar spikes and you were to get a stool test, you'll likely notice on that stool test that your Acromantia is either low or undetectable. The question is why? Well, So there's actually another arguably more important bacteria called Calorbacterium prinzenii. And if this bacteria is low or undetected, it'll affect acromantia because it's actually the primary butyrate-producing microbe in the gut. So check this out. This is how this works. We consume fiber from our diets. That fiber then gets broken down by the bacteria called Calorbacterium prinzenii into what are called short-chain fatty acids. And one of the key short-chain fatty acids connected to GLP-1 is called butyrate. And what butyrate does is it actually stimulates the intestinal cells to make mucus, and Acromantia lives in that mucus and feeds on the mucus as its primary fuel source. So if we don't have this nice thick mucus, Acromantia doesn't have a home, and it also doesn't have its fuel source to thrive on. So you have this chain reaction that starts with the bacteria Calorbacterium prinzenii. So just keep in mind, having parasites and H. pylori in particular can often throw off this bacteria from thriving. So you want to first make sure to clear out all gut infections. Afterward, you want to feed and repopulate the bacteria. Now keep in mind, this is an important detail, Calorbacterium prinzenii feeds off of red and purple fruits such as cranberries, blueberries, and pomegranates. So the problem is those foods will spike the blood sugar in those that don't have the needed gut bacteria to stabilize their blood sugar. So for those people who have yet to repopulate those needed gut bacteria, taking like concentrated polyphenolic compounds in supplement form is an excellent bridge until you could rebuild the butyrate levels in order to then increase acromantia, which then increases GLP-1, which then stabilizes your blood sugar. Now again, if you consume those fruits that I just listed prior to increasing your acromantia, you'll end up with hyperglycemic episodes. And if you don't believe me, just test yourself with a glucometer. Now keep in mind, it's also fiber from the polyphenolic compounds that feed this bacteria as well, but not everyone could break down these fibers properly. So for example, if someone has H. pylori, it's going to suppress stomach acid, which then reduces the signal to the pancreas to make and release the enzymes needed to properly break down food needed to build back up the butyrate levels. So think about it. When food enters the stomach, hydrochloric acid activates the release of what's called CCK or cholecystokinin and secretin, which are hormones that signal to the pancreas to secrete enzymes like amylase, lipase, protease, etc., right? And this helps to break down food. Now, this lack of enzymes and thus lack of ability to break down the food that produces butyrate makes it extremely difficult to feed the butyrate-producing bacteria. This is why I always say taking Acromantia in supplemental form, while helpful in the short term and theoretically helpful in the long term, is nothing more than a Band-Aid. If someone, for example, had H. pylori, you first need to get a stool test to find out that fact, right? Do you actually have H. pylori for starters? Then if you do, eradicate the infection in order to get those enzymes back in full effect. Once that happens, the foods needed to feed the butyrate-producing bacteria can begin to start increasing, and eventually, with the help of some supplemental polyphenolic compounds, that butyrate-producing bacteria will begin to increase, thereby increasing butyrate. And once butyrate is robust, Acromantia will begin to thrive without the need for supplementation, and blood sugar will begin to stabilize again. Remember, this is called the first phase insulin response. It's when GLP-1 hormone made in the gut signals to the beta cells to release insulin before the food has even gotten a chance to reach the bloodstream. And without that first phase insulin response, blood sugar will spike beyond what it ever should. And once that happens, the insulin you release has to play catch up and struggle to get that blood sugar down. When if it had a release, like an insulin release prior to the food even reaching the bloodstream, it would never have a chance to spike in the first place, regardless of how high carb of a meal you consume. So in this context, the enemy is not carbohydrates per se, although if you were to consume a high carbohydrate meal, your blood sugar would spike. But the problem, the enemy isn't carbohydrates per se, it's the fact that you're not making enough GLP-1, that first phase insulin response is blunted. And as a result, you can't handle those carbs. So you're sort of forced to be on this low carbohydrate diet, at least during the time that you repopulate the gut with butyrate, acromantia, etc. Now, this is what I'm talking about. This is not a simple process. This could take many, many months. It involves having to get a stool test, having to find someone to interpret that stool test, going on supplements for a certain period of time, and kind of obsessively checking your postprandial blood sugar. This is not a Band-Aid situation where just taking acromantia is going to fix everything. Again, I do think that during this time frame, taking acromantia probiotic while you're fixing your gut issues is not a bad idea, because you don't want to have these blood sugar spikes. But I do think there's obviously a solution here, but it's not a simple one that I think those in the wellness space will sell you on it being simple. And it is also not a weight loss solution per se. It is a blood sugar, potential blood sugar solution, at least I guess repairing that first phase insulin response, which I think is the first domino regarding diabetes. And it's extremely overlooked because most practitioners, 99.9%, are not interested in your postprandial blood sugar. If they see that fasting blood sugar at 82 and they see your hemoglobin A1C below 5.7, you are definitionally fine to them. They will not check C-peptide. They will not check fasting insulin, and they will most certainly not do an analysis of your postprandial blood sugar, nor ask you, nor recommend a CGM. So they have no idea what your first phase insulin response is, and this is often domino number one and is completely avoidable and fixable. It's just not a simple process. It could be relatively long and somewhat painful. It's not fun, but once it's fixed, maintaining is not nearly as difficult as the repair process. Okay, well, I think I gave you guys a good amount of actionable takeaways involving GLP-1 and the gut-blood sugar connection. Now, if you like the content on today's episode, don't forget to like and subscribe. It's super helpful and so appreciated. Well, that about does it for today. Until next time, take care, everyone. This program is not intended to diagnose or treat any disease or health condition and is not a substitute for professional medical advice. The Root of the Cause podcast is solely informational in nature, so please consult your healthcare practitioner before engaging in anything discussed on the show. If you think you have a medical problem, consult a licensed physician.